Parsha, Parshas Korach, we talk about a lot of different aspects of Jewish life, but one of the important mitzvahs that we talk about is the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Now, Pidyon HaBen is something that already we learn about in Parshas Bo. Pasuk says in Parshas Bo, Kaddish li kal b'char, peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael. We have an obligation to be mekaddish all the firstborn children. Ba'adam uva behema lihu. The firstborn animals and the firstborn children are considered to be in some way kodesh. Then once again, in our Parsha, Parshas Korach, we have the very same obligation, the very same mitzvah. Kol peter rechem l'chol basar asher akrivu la'Hashem ba'adam uva behema yiyeh lecha. Ach pados ifdes b'char ha'adam. You have to do a pidyon. You have to do some sort of redemption on the child who is a b'char ha'adam. Ves b'char ha'behema hatmeya tifzeh. And then it says that we have to do a redeeming ceremony on a b'char behema tmeya as well. How exactly do we do this redemption? Says the pasuk, uvduyav mi ben chodesh tifdeh. After 30 days, after a month, you have to redeem the child. Be'arkacha kesef chameshes shkalim b'shekel ha'kodesh. Esrim Geirahu, which is a whole controversy to figure out how exactly we know what that amount really is nowadays. In our monetary value system, it's not so easy to figure out what it was in the times of the Chumash. But whatever the calculation is, we have a mitzvah to do a Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph, after 30 days of the child being alive. Now, what is the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen all about? So the Medrash tells us the following. Number one, the Medrash says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yud Gimel Dvarim Chivavan HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Karan Li. There are 13 different places in Chumash where we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam calls something Li. He says, it is for me. And that has a very special significance, says the Medrash, because the Ribbono Shel Olam obviously loves it if he says, this is for me. So we have many mitzvahs that we find in the Torah, but not by all of them do we find that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, do this for me. Now this is one of the examples, says the Medrash, HaBechoros, when you have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen by a Bechor, it says, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. And therefore, says the Medrash, it means the Ribbono Shel Olam has a special chavivus, a special love for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Not only that, says the Medrash, Gedola chavivus mitzvah zu. The Torah obviously loves this mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen so much to the extreme, Shechazra HaTorah Al Hatzivoy HaZeh Tes Pa'amim, that the Torah records this mitzvah 9 times in the Torah. Now, we don't have the mitzvah of Tefillin repeated 9 times in the Torah. We don't have the mitzvah of Shabbos, maybe we do, Shabbos. There's a lot of times that Shabbos is mentioned, but most of the mitzvahs are just mentioned and then we move on. But here, says the Medrash, we have 9 specific instances in the Torah where we find that the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. In fact, the Mefarshim on Chumash explain, the assumption of the Rashbam and other Rishonim is that this mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen was given b'yom Yitzias Mitzrayim, on the day the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, not by Kabbalah HaTorah, not by Har Sinai, but this was such a special mitzvah, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it, the moment we became a free people, the moment He took us out of Mitzrayim, B'yad Chazak of Izra Netuya, on that occasion, the Ribbono Shel Olam responded and He gave us this mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. That is what the Rishonim write on Chumash. Now, the mitzvah in Meseches Kiddushin, Daf Chav Tes, is described as a mitzvah that is Al Ha'av, a mitzvah that every father has when the firstborn child is born. As the Mishnah tells us, a father has many obligations to his children. So number one, says the Mishnah, Ha'av Chayiv Lamales Beno. As we know, a father has an obligation to give a bris milah to his child. Vilif Doso. And, says the Mishnah, not only does a father have an obligation to give a bris milah to the child on the Yom Hashmini, but he also has an obligation to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen as well. Ask the Gemara, Liv Doso Minayin. Now it says, by Yom Hashmini, Yimol B'Sar Laso. The Pasuk says, Beferish, explicitly, that on the eighth day, the father has to give his son a bris milah. But how do you know that a father has to do a Pidyon HaBen for his child? Says the Pasuk, Shanemar V'chol B'char Banecha Tifdet. The Pasuk says, explicitly, all the firstborn children of your family, you must do the ceremony of Pidyon HaBen for that child. So what is the nature of the obligation to do the Pidyon HaBen? Do we say it's only on the father, or should we assume that the mother shares the obligation as well? So this is also discussed in that Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara says, V'ihi minalan delo mifkida. So the Mishnah tells us explicitly that the father has an obligation to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. How do you know the mother is not obligated to do it? Says the Gemara, we learn from a pasuk, Tifda, Tifda, it's a kri and a ksiv, and from there we learn that a woman has no obligation to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen on her child. Says the Gemara, Kol shemitzuva liftos asatzmo, here's the rule. Anyone who has an obligation to be poda themselves, anyone who would have the opportunity to do that, is mitzuva liftos acherim, has a mitzvah to be poda acherim, which means a man would be able to be a Bechor, and therefore we assume he has an obligation to perform the mitzvah Pidin HaBen on his child, if it's relevant. V'chol she'ena mitzuva liftas asatzmo, since a woman would not have an obligation to perform a Pidin HaBen on herself if she was the Bechor, therefore ena mitzuva liftas es acherim, says the Gemara. You also have no obligation to be po to others. Now here is where it gets complicated, because the Pischei Tshuva, in his commentary on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudea, in Hilchas Pidin HaBen, so the Pischei Tshuva writes the following. He says, Isha shepatzes bina minichse baila belo yidiyasu. An unusual case. You have a woman, let's say her husband is on business. She just had a baby. Why is the husband going on business right after she has a baby? I don't know. But the Gemara assumes there could be such a case, that the husband is not around and he's not doing the Pidin HaBen. The woman says, look, I have to plan for the future. I have to figure out, what are we going to do about the Pidin HaBen? Doesn't look like the husband's going to be home. So she goes into the family bank account. She goes into the family vault where all the money is hidden, and she takes out money and she goes to the local kohen and she says, now it's the Yom Lamed Aleph, now it's the 31st day, and I'd like to perform the mitzvah Pidin HaBen. My husband is not home. Says the Pischei Tshuva. But she does all of this without the husband's knowledge. So she takes out of his bank account, or she takes out of his vault where he keeps all of his money, she takes out money without him knowing and without his permission, and she goes to the kohen to do the mitzvah Pidin HaBen. Says the Pischei Tshuva, Kishe Yava, when the husband now returns from his business trip, and she tells him, by the way, I'm so excited, I'm sorry that you missed it, but by the way, we had a big Pidin HaBen without you. Says the Pischei Tshuva, you have to go and do it again without a bracha. Why? Because it's not clear that the husband really was happy with the fact that you took his money. Who gave you permission to take my money, the husband might say. And because at the time that you took his money, it wasn't clear whether or not you had the right to use his money, because you didn't do it with permission, therefore we say that you have to go ahead and do it once again later on when he returns, and now you have his consent, now you have to do it again without a bracha. So that is the halacha that the Pischei Tshuva quotes. Now, what seems to be a clear indication from the Pischei Tshuva is, let's say before the husband leaves on his business trip, he tells his wife, look, I'm not going to be around. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss the Pidin HaBen. I'm not going to be here. I have a meeting somewhere. I'd like you to go into the bank and take out this amount of money and give it to the kohen. Let's do the ceremony of Pidin HaBen in my absence. It would seem clear from that Gemara, from that halacha that the Pischei Tshuva quotes, that that would work, that that would be something that's a possibility. As long as you know the husband's consent is there, as long as you know that he allowed her to take from his bank account, then certainly she's allowed to do it on his behalf. And yet that would pose a major halachic problem, because we have a Gemara in Gittin Daf Chav Gimel, where the Gemara says, in context of a different halacha, there the Gemara is talking about a husband who's divorcing his wife. So who is allowed to be a shaliach? Who is allowed to serve as the go-between? Let's say the husband and wife don't want to look at each other, they don't want to see each other anymore. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, it's terrible, but if they don't want to see each other anymore and they want that someone else should deliver the get and there should be a middleman involved in that delivery, the Gemara says, there are rules and regulations for who's allowed to serve as that shaliach, who is allowed to be the one to deliver the get, who is allowed to be the one to write the get. So the Gemara says there in Gittin Daf Chav Gimel, that an Eved is not able to be a person as to serve as that middleman. An Eved, a servant, is not able to be the one who can deliver the get from husband to wife. Why not? L'fi she'ena b'toras gittin v'kiddushim, because an Eved, there's no such thing as an Eved getting married in Torah and halachic law. And therefore, since the Eved is not B'Torah, since the Eved is not someone who's relevant to this whole discussion that we're having about Kiddushin or Gittin, therefore, the Eved also cannot be the one who is the Shaliach, who is the go-between between the husband and wife to deliver the get or administer it. That's what the Gemara says clearly. And what you see from there is that kol she'ena b'toras, anyone who's not a part of this particular mitzvah, is also not able to be the middleman to perform it either, which would pose a major problem. We just said a woman has no obligation to do the Pidin HaBen on her son. It's clear the Gemara learns from Sukkim that it's only an obligation of a father on his son, not of a mother on her son. And therefore we assume that I would have said, without knowing anything else, I would have said, even if a woman goes ahead and does it, the mitzvah has not been performed. The mitzvah has not been done at all. And yet over here, the Pischei Tshuva seems to say clearly, if the woman has the permission of her husband, that would seem to be okay. If she has, the money was given to her, rightfully so, by the husband, so then she would be allowed to perform it on his behalf. Which is a question that the Achronim deal with. Why should that be the case? She seems to be Eina B'Torah. She seems to be not included in the mitzvah, so why should she be able to go ahead and perform the mitzvah? But be it as it may, the mitzvah is really primarily on the father, and unless you have extenuating circumstances, that's the way the mitzvah should be done. When we speak about a bechor,
is it possible that if the husband explicitly says, assuming separate bank accounts, and different mores entirely than the way in which we live today, okay, but if the husband explicitly says to her, this money is for the use of a pidyon ben in case I don't come back, she then executes that statement, could she not be acting b'torat shaliach?
But rather as?
She would be acting as torat.
She would. So that's the Pischei Tshuva seems to set it up that the only time it doesn't work is if she doesn't have his permission. But if she does have his permission and he designates money and she just executes the plan, the Pischei Tshuva seems to say that that would work. And the question is, why should it work? Exactly what you're saying.
But if she's b'torat shaliach at that point.
Well, let's say when I'm trying to deliver a get and I set up a eved to be my shaliach, the Gemara says since the eved is not b'torah's getting v'kiddushin, he cannot serve as my shaliach. So that should transfer here also. That since the woman is not part of this whole mitzvah of pidyon ben, she also should not have the ability to be a shaliach. Again, there's major room to distinguish and differentiate between an eved, who is really not b'toras at all, and a woman who certainly is b'toras 613 mitzvahs, just she has a p'tur every once in a while. That's the way the Achronim basically deal with it, but it's a question that needs to be figured out. How do you really define clearly the details of who is able to be the middle man here and who is not? When we talk about the need for a firstborn child requiring a pidyon ben, the Mishnah writes explicitly in Maseches Bechoros something that very often people make a mistake about and don't realize until somebody points it out to them. And that is, whose firstborn are we talking about? Is it the firstborn to the father or is it the firstborn to the mother? Now this is a very important halacha to be aware of. The Mishnah says in Bechoros very clearly, Misha lo hayu lo banim. Let's say there was a man who did not have any children, and now he goes and marries a woman who was married previously and was widowed, and now she has the opportunity to get married once again. So it says that ein habachar lekohen. Even if they have a child together now, since it's not her firstborn child, it is only his firstborn child, we assume that there is no mitzvah of pidyon haben. The only time there's a pidyon haben is when it's peter rechem imo, only when it's the firstborn child from the woman, not when it's the firstborn child of the man. And there, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, the opposite applies as well. Let's say you have a man who has five different wives, says the Gemara, and now each one of them has a child. So the Gemara says that he has an obligation to go and do a pidyon ben from each one of those children, even though one of them had to be first, one of them is his firstborn, but since all of them are the firstborn to those five wives that he has an obligation to do the pidyon ben on all five of them equally. And that's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch as well, based on the simple Mishnah that we read, the simple Gemara that we find, that the firstborn can only be when it's the firstborn from a woman, not when it's the firstborn of a man. Now, this would be problematic. It causes slight difficulty because Rashi writes, in his commentary on Chumash, Rashi writes that when the Makas Bechoros took place, which Bechor was killed? Which firstborn? The firstborn to the mother or the firstborn to the father? So Rashi tells us on Chumash that who died in Makas Bechoros? All Bechorim, all firstborns, not only firstborns to the mother, but firstborns to the father as well. Now if the Pasuk says in Parshas Bo that Makas Bechoros in some way was the catalyst to the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, as many of the Rishonim understand, then why is it that we all of a sudden veer away from the regular story of Makas Bechoros in which all the Bechorim were wiped out? Why do we now say that the mitzvah only applies to us when it's a Bechor La'aim, not when it's a Bechor La'av? Which is a question that has to be dealt with. The Ramban on Chumash tries to figure out why that is so. Why do we differentiate between the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen and the original story of Makas Bechoros? Now, it really leads to a different question, which is that really the reason why we do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? Is it only because we had a story of Makas Bechoros and Hashem made sure to skip over our Bechorim and he made sure not to take their lives away and therefore we have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? That's the understanding of the Ramban. But the Medrash seems to say very differently. The Medrash says that the reason why we have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen has nothing at all to do with Makas Bechoros. The Medrash says it's because from time immemorial the Ribbono Shel Olam saw to it that the firstborn child was the one who offered the carbon to the Ribbono Shel Olam long before there was a Beis HaMikdash, long before we had an institution of a Mishkan. The practice always was that the Bechor was the one who offered the carbon. And the Medrash goes into a description of where we find that this was the practice. So we find it, number one, says the Medrash, by Adam HaRishon, which is surprising that you call Adam HaRishon the Bechor. I guess he is the firstborn child of God himself. So says the Medrash, Adam HaRishon was the first one to offer a karban. And he gave that ability over to his firstborn, who gave it over to his firstborn, and it kept going down in generations till Avraham Avinu, and then it went to Yitzchak, and then it went to Yaakov. Yaakov offered karbanos. He wasn't really the Bechor, but he stole the Bechorah. So the Medrash goes into a whole discussion that that's where the whole institution of the Kedushas HaBechor comes from. It has nothing at all to do with Makas Bechoros. It was around way before the story of Makas Bechoros ever took place. And therefore the Medrash says we have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen because in some way a Bechor is endowed with a great Kedusha. Until later on, unfortunately, they lost that Kedusha, but we assume some level of Kedusha is retained, and therefore you have to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So again, this leads the Rishonim to ask, what is the real reason for Pidyon HaBen? Is it only because we once had a story of Makas Bechoros and we're grateful that our Bechorim were saved? Or is it no, it's something that has nothing at all to do with Makas Bechoros, it was something that was around way before because the Bechorim were always the ones who were selected, who were singled out to do the Hakravas HaKarbanos. Let's just close the Svarim on Pidyon HaBen quote from the Tikkunei Zohar. And they say a very beautiful comment that Kishepodah Ha'avez Beno, when a father goes ahead and performs the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen for his firstborn child, Misorim Rachame Avinu Shabashamayim Ligolas Yisrael. There is a special rachamim, there's a special mercy that is evoked at that time when you're performing that mitzvah. Why is that? Why so more than any other mitzvah that we perform? We wear tefillin every day, we keep Shabbos every week, so why is there a special mercy that is evoked in Rachamei Shamayim at this moment? Amra Knesset Yisrael Efnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we say before the Ribono Shel Olam, Ata Karasanu, you called us, you have branded us, you have named us, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, you called all of us collectively as your firstborn child. Banecha anu va'ata avinu, which means if you brand us as your children, as your bechor, it means you are our father and we are your children. V'chamisha dvarim chayev ha'av lebeno. And after all, we just read the Mishnah says there are a number of obligations that a parent has to their child. By giving birth to the child, you sign up to a list of obligations. And one of them is livdoso. One of the obligations that a parent has is to be poda the bechor, to do the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen on this firstborn child. And therefore the Jewish people say, at a moment of Pidyon HaBen, we say to the Ribono Shel Olam, you have to fulfill your obligation. If you call us your children, it means you are our father, and that means you have an obligation, lifdoso sanu bibein ha'umas ha'olam. You have an obligation to now be poda us from our place of redemption that we need. You have to be podeas mibein umas ha'olam. And therefore says the Tikkun HaZohar, since this is the taina of the Jewish people on the occasion of a Pidyon HaBen, in some way it is a zman for being ma'orei rachamei shamayim, because we can actually ask the Ribono Shel Olam for a number of things on this occasion, because after all, he is our father and we are his firstborn children, we are his bechor, and therefore we have every right to hold him to his obligation as a parent, the same way the Gemara says we would be kofa, we would hold any other father to their obligation that they have toward their children as well.